to Walnut Grove Cast. My name is Mark, and I am on the line with Chris Cooling. How are you, Chris?
I am doing well.
Excellent. This is another great episode. They're all great episodes. Not all. I'm wondering, if you could choose an episode, what would be your least favorite episode from Little House in general?
Oh my goodness.
I know, it's a
You're
tough one.
You're putting me on the spot.
I didn't think of this question until just now. If there was, like, if it came on and you were like, all right, I'm going to pass on this one.
Oh, wow.
You know, you could think about it.
Yeah, we'd probably have to.
It wouldn't be this episode, though. This one, I really like this episode. Do you want to announce, do the big reveal on the episode?
Sure. This week we'll be looking at Season 2, Episode 9, called Ebenezer Sprague.
See, it's interesting because it says Episode 3 on IMDb.
I knew you would bring that up.
No, but in my listings of my collection, it is Episode 9.
Yeah, so something, there's a couple things that may have happened. First of all, it may be episode 3 as far as production order and not aired until episode 9. Also, it's possible that for whatever reason, it got thrown into the third. It is the third episode on the DVD sets and in the Amazon video listings and on IMDb.
Well, it's definitely
not.
If you look at
IMDb, it's tied into the Amazon listings because that is the same company.
Now, it's definitely not the third episode of the season.
No.
Because it aired on November 19th.
There you go. It aired after episode 8. So it is air date. It was the ninth episode aired of season 2, November 1975.
Right. Strange, though.
Written by Blanche Nellis, who cranked out a huge number of the episodes. And this one is directed by Victor French, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
I have to pull up again, but Victor French.
I love Victor French.
Directed a number of episodes of The Little House.
He actually is not in this episode.
No.
I don't think he really pops back in until maybe third season?
No, he's...
Is he on this particular
pops
season?
He back up in season 2, I believe.
I'm looking down here.
I think... I'm rewatching after a number of years. So, and we've been jumping around.
The Runaway Caboose, was he in maybe?
Oh goodness!
Did he pop in and say something?
Something about the Widow Snyder in this this season, if I'm not mistaken. I was reading quite a bit today, so I could have jumped to another. Another season to been reading something completely different. I don't know.
Well, nonetheless, we loved the character that he plays. We love Victor French, and this is a great episode. Now, it opens up and they're building the bank out of bricks.
Yeah,
which is great. But you have to wonder, you know, they're just bricks. You know? I mean, it's really. It's not like it doesn't look. Too amazing. I mean, it definitely looks like the sturdiest building in Walnut Grove.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not really sure. I don't know. I'm just kind of, you know, I also wouldn't expect there to be a bank in Walnut Grove. I would expect there to be a bank in Mankato or Sleepy Eye. And they would just travel there. I don't know how much business he would end up doing. And I think, as a matter of fact, he doesn't really stick around, does he?
He is the banker throughout season 2.
No, but I mean later in later seasons, doesn't the bank go away?
I don't think it goes away. I think it's just not.
No,
it's
the
not
bank
featured.
No, remember the bank becomes the print house. Remember she?
Interesting.
You know, she takes over the bank because she was, you know, I forgot her name. With Harriet's Happenings.
With the newspaper?
Yeah.
So you might be right.
We have to look into that. We have to look into all these holes in the story.
Yeah. Mr. Sprague became a recurring character a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
And, I mean, we saw him in the episode with Laura and the Fool's Gold.
Right.
A couple of others. I think he appeared 4 times in the show, so he became a recurring
Ted Gehring,
character of sorts.
Ted Gehring made, he was in a lot of different, he did the whole run of different TV shows, just like most of the people on the show. He did The Fall Guy, Hunter, Highway to Heaven, Scarecrow, Mrs. King. He went into that whole gamut, Simon and Simon.
He was A-team. A TV character actor.
Yes, absolutely.
I didn't see a starring or a regular role for him, I don't think, in any series. At most, it was just a recurring character.
Right. He was only in 5 episodes of Little House, believe it or not.
Yeah.
But that's a lot, you know, for for a minor recurring character. I think that's pretty decent. He did 8 episodes with Walt Disney's Wonderful World of Color back in the mid-70s. He was in Kung Fu as a recurring, recurring.
Played several different characters on The Rockford Files and on Emergency. And 168 credits is a TV character actor.
Yeah, man, he goes all the way back to 65. Yeah, pretty cool. But yeah, you know, he's one of those faces where you kind of see, but I think he plays the perfect, I guess, straight mean guy. Like, the kind of guy who's, you're kind of mean, but you have a good point.
Right. He's not extremely hateable.
No.
But he can play...
You can understand where he's coming from.
A gruff and he's very short with everyone.
Right. With everyone. It just doesn't matter at all. So... You know, and he comes from wealth. You can tell he's probably the best dressed guy in Walnut Grove, next to Nell's. So he comes to inspect the bank, which, of course, Charles is part of the building crew. Now, if it is not built on time, I believe that there's a form of financial penalty, correct? Mm-hmm.
Right. They had a deadline, something like 21 days to build the bank building. And if it wasn't done by noon on a certain day, he forfeited, a day's pay or something like that?
Well, I'm going to play the clip of him inspecting it, and I think we kind of get caught up as to what the deal might be.
Yeah. So
here we go.
No, why?
Oh, whoops.
I was thinking I might loan you a penny.
Sorry about that.
Don't unload yet.
But I have to
just wait
back.
Here.
Hello, Mr. Sprague. Practically sanded it to a shine. Took the whole morning. Oh, that is solid as a rock. And it'll stand as long as the bank. Beams are 12 inches apart.
I've never seen Hanson so, over the top friendly. Sprague is basically walking around.
A barrel full of laughs, isn't he?
Yeah.
Day for non-completion.
Mr. Sprague, you said 21 days. The 22nd day of the month, and today is the 22nd.
The contract clearly states the building will be completed at 12 noon on the 22nd. It is now exactly 12:48. You are 48 minutes late. The contract also states that the wagon outside will be unloaded by you. Your payment is due at 12 noon tomorrow. Money will be ready and waiting.
So that's basically, you know, that's Sprague. He's
a making stickler friends. To the end.
Making friends the minute he gets into town.
Yeah. Nice woodwork. Very nice nice raw wood appearance of that, the inside of that building. I was thinking how much nicer the finish was than Charles's house.
Oh, God. You know, Charles's house is really bothering me these days. And I'm going to put it up there with the Honeymooners.
You know, it never changed.
Yeah,
it was the same from the beginning of the show to the end.
But they never tried. Like, you know, I skip around a lot with Little House. So I'll watch, you know, a season 7, a season 8. Every single person, even what's her name? Sylvia, the girl who in that two-parter.
Mm-hmm.
Even her dad, who's, you know, super grumpy guy, has a nicer house than the Ingalls. The poorest people in Walnut Grove have a nicer house than the Ingalls. I just don't understand. I don't understand that plaster wall in the back.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't understand the one on the side where the kitchen is about to be blown out. I just don't understand why it had to be so crappy.
Yeah, they have that same white plaster wall on one of the walls of the bank. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I don't understand. Oh, really? No. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. I'm looking at it right now.
One of the walls is that white. Maybe it's the other side of the brick facade, and then the rest of the walls have that wood finish.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Strange. So I think here it is. Charles is going to come in and kind of, I guess, introduce himself. And mm-hmm. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
Over here.
That's a lot of it.
Good.
You know, they're just trying to be friendly, smiling. And...
like the monkeys.
Something, Mr. Ingalls?
It's just that I know you had a long trip and... this being your first night in town, I thought you might be tired and like a home-cooked meal. I'd like to invite you to my place for supper.
Why?
Pardon me?
Why would you want to invite me for supper?
Well, it's like I said, you had a long trip. I figured you were tired.
Mr. Ingalls, I've been taking care of myself for a great many years just fine. Tonight will be no different today.
You know, Carolyn makes really good food. And for him to just say good day... but it is a pretty screwy thing, man. I mean, I understand he doesn't want to make any friends. What kind of existence is this? Like, it's just bizarre to me.
Yeah, lives by himself.
Do we ever learn anything about Sprague? Like, any backstory aside from the fact that he grew up?
Other than what he says in this episode, I think that's all we end up learning about him.
I mean, the guy's a total loner.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous.
Lives in the back of the bank.
Yeah, it's like mm-hmm. It's like your local Chinese food place. You know, it's like they practically live there.
Yeah, Doc Baker lives at his office, right?
That's true. I never understood that. The guy can afford a phone, but he can't afford his own place. No, remember there was an episode where he gave up doctoring, and he bought a farm.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I remember that. I've seen that a number of times.
So, Charles goes home and he says, well, you know, that guy was pretty grumpy and this whole thing. And, of course, Carol, you know, this is what they talk about in bed. And Charles has his pink long johns on.
Yeah.
And even their bed is kind of very handmade. Like, it could be... for all the, like, nice work that he does, you think, like, he would just put some of that work into his house. It's just so strange. So I think he says, basically, actually, can you fill me in on that conversation? I'm kind of drawing a blank.
The bedtime conversation?
Yeah, the bed talk. Because I know he wants to ask for a loan, correct?
Right. We're not really there yet.
We're not totally there yet? All right.
No, this is just pillow top. Oh, that Mr. Sprague, he's so rude. Well, maybe he just had a bad day. Give him a chance, Charles. Okay. That's basically what it was. And then we have Carolyn going and selling eggs again to Mrs. Olsen in the next scene.
Right, and I think, and that is actually when Charles goes and speaks to the banker.
At the last part of that.
Because I think he wants to buy something for Caroline. Not really sure, maybe an anniversary gift or something along those lines.
No, he wants to farm additional land.
Oh, yeah. Like, people are listening. It's like, Mark, have you ever seen this episode? and you know what I have to say? I did watch the wrong episode. I've seen this episode a number of times. But the most recent episode that I watched for this podcast was not this episode, unfortunately. I completely screwed up. So, actually, I was going to play Mr. Sprague looking at his papers.
I'm mistaken. They already had the discussion at the table before bed.
Okay.
You know, Charles, we can barely make ends meet now. Well, I might take out a loan. A loan? And Charles has been up to this time, you know, Mr. Cash on the Barrelhead.
Oh. Please.
So for him to actually borrow money, that represents a little bit of a shift in character, to me anyway.
Well, I think in general the season brought like a different type of character to him. When he was really doing poorly in an earlier episode from the season, Mary actually quit school temporarily to go to work.
Mm.
So, I mean, these are things that a Charles Ingalls normally would not stand for. But when the times are tough, the times are tough.
Yeah, I mean, he had to buy those glasses a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, my God. And then Mary had to go and lose them on purpose.
Mm.
Four eyes. But here's the clip of Charles talking to Mr. Sprague, Ebenezer.
Really not very much land, Mr. Ingalls. Not enough for collateral.
It's not just the land, Mr. Sprague. It's what I've done with it. I've got a crop coming up.
I heard last year it wasn't very good.
Well, we had a bad winter last year, but next year it's going to be different.
I cannot use next year for collateral, Mr. Ingalls.
But Mr. Sprague, I'm a hard-working man. I've got a good name in this town. You can ask anybody.
Nor can I put your good name in my safe, sir.
Well, I'm not asking for charity. I'm asking for a loan.
Hello! Welcome to Walnut Grove, Mr. Sprague. I'm Mrs. Olson of Olson's Mercantile Company. Just across the way.
How do you do, Mrs. Olson? I'm right.
I wanted to meet you before you got the notion that there was absolutely nobody like you in the town.
Like me?
Mm-hmm. Educated people of quality and substance. I come from the city also, Mr. Sprague. I'm sure that you do.
Mrs. Olson, I quit school when I was in third grade. My father was a farmer. I never saw a city till I was 17, and then I didn't like it. Now, if you have some business to transact, I'll be with you in just a moment as soon as I'm through with Mr. Ingalls.
Oh, no. Oh, I just wanted to... Welcome a new neighbor. I see that you're busy. Well, good day.
What about the loan, Mr. Sprague?
Yes, well, I'll have to have some time to think it over. Why don't you check back with me in a few days?
That sounds like a no.
Yeah, I mean, I think Charles shouldn't have even asked about it. Like, it shouldn't have been like, well, how about it? You know? It's sad. You know, Charles, it's very difficult for him to get a break.
Mm.
You know, something's always going wrong. There's a storm going through, destroying the crop. A drought. Horse and buggy go crazy. You know, it's...
Diseases.
The dog gets rabies, you know, all types of stuff. But, yeah, he just wants a small loan, and unfortunately he can't get it. So, this is interesting also because we have Harriet inviting him, you know, over, and she's getting rebuffed very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is kind of hilarious. Now, why would
she's very quick to withdraw the idea of inviting him once she finds out he's not an educated man from the city.
Yeah.
He's a poor farmer who's a school dropout.
Yeah.
So it doesn't sound like he actually, it doesn't sound like he comes from money. It sounds like he made his way, got a job, probably got a job at a bank and worked his way up in banking.
Right. He worked for it.
Yeah.
So here's a little, discussion between Nels and Harriet, about, well, you know, Mr. Sprague. We have Harriet sweeping.
Nels with his root beer.
Which night is Mr. Sprague coming to dinner?
I wouldn't invite that ignorant farmer to dine at my table.
I thought...
Well, don't. Finish the sweeping.
I didn't even know. I thought he was coming to dinner. How was I supposed to?
Nels is my favorite, but what do you think he's drinking there? Like a sarsaparilla?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Could have been root beer, right?
Well, that's what that was.
A sarsaparilla?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah, I kept thinking if were they brought in from the city? I mean, it looks like, I don't think there was any...
Looks store-bought.
Any manufacturing of that going on in Walnut Grove. So that probably was shipped in when they got their stock.
You know, one thing that I think is an interesting ongoing joke, I think, is the amount of drinking that is going on without there actually being drinking. Like, Harriet seems to always, like, kind of hit the medicine, you know. Nels has been, from time to time, taking a little nip. You know, I think it's something I didn't pick up on when I was a kid. But, and then we have... I just think there's more drinking than I recall from when I was a kid. So we don't have the banker coming to go to the Olsen's for dinner, you know, because, you know, obviously, like you said, Harriet feels as though she's above him and he's below her. So he's leaving town, not leaving town, but he's... in his horse and buggy, and it appears he's going to kind of explore the area and find a nice, like, a little fishing spot. And the thing that's interesting about this is he's being practically followed and chased by the dog, by Jack, who will later get rabies and be shot. You know, it's weird. I was looking at Jack, and Jack looks a lot like my little tiny Maltese dog, except huge. It's very interesting. Like, what a big fluff. I mean, that dog has a lot of hair. I'd love to have one. What is that, a sheepdog, you think? Or,
you know, I'm not sure. It's...
like a mutt?
Yeah, definitely a mix. There's... more than one breed, I think, going on there. Reminds me a little bit of the tiger dog from Brady Bunch.
Mm-hmm. Who also got rabies. No,
I'm sure somebody knows
So,
what breed that is. But
yeah, so if you're listening, why don't you jump over to Facebook, look up Walnut Grove Cast, and let us know. So here's a little dialogue between Laura, who's also going to go fishing, because as we know, Laura loves fishing. And who does she run into?
Hey, Get your dog, young.
On the basically, he lost control and kind of rode into a low hanging tree.
And then he pretends to be crippled.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yes, and I'm sorry. It's
just a little late to be sorry. I'm just going to have to report this to the sheriff at Walnut Grove.
Well, you can't.
And why not?
Because there isn't any sheriff at Walnut Grove.
Oh.
I really am sorry. You going fishing?
No. I just carry this fishing rod around to beat off wild animals. Now, if you hold that dog of yours till I'm out of sight.
Yes, sir.
And then he's out of sight. definitely a funny exchange. I like it when Laura is like very, I don't know, very non-argumentative. I can't explain it. Like, Laura to me acts more like an adult than some of the adults in the show. And I don't know. I just find that her acting has always been really good. I really enjoyed her. When she is young. I didn't when I was a kid. I found her annoying. I think somehow she gets over the fact that her voice is kind of annoying. And I think her acting is actually better than her voice. So Sprague basically finds a nice watering hole. And it just so happens that it's Laura's watering hole. So here we go.
Young lady, this is a very large pond. I'm sure we'll both be more comfortable if you find some other spot.
So she goes about 15 feet to his left. She's baiting something that looks like a rubber ball. And she's just beaming at Sprague, smiling. And
she's almost too nice.
Yeah, like just almost condescending. Like, and of course, what happens? She gets a fish immediately.
You want to try my bait?
I do not need your help.
And all Jack wants to do is play. Of course, this is more of a visual thing, but...
Yeah, totally.
He complains, the dog is barking. Laura's busy reeling in these fish like she is on one of those like competition shows where... They bring in, the main lobster.
Look, somebody put this on my hook.
Exactly.
Did you notice the continuity goof?
No, which one?
Well, she pulls out a perch from the water at first, and then they cut away to Sprague, and then they cut back to her, and it's a catfish.
You know what's funny? Because I was thinking, oh, it's a catfish. I didn't look again.
Right. The first thing they show is a perch. They cut away to Sprague. He looks, and she looks, and then look, and it's a catfish.
That's
kind of
pretty
a small
hilarious.
One. Yeah. And on Jack, the breed of Jack, it's probable that he is at least mostly a bearded collie. That's what Tiger on the Brady Bunch was.
Oh, really?
And a number of TV and film dogs were bearded collies. He doesn't look pure to me. I mean, he looks like he's possibly mixed with a terrier. But did you ever see the mid-70s film with Don Johnson, A Boy and His Dog?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a bearded collie.
What about Benji? Was Benji
Benji. Benji was probably a bearded collie.
All of them.
I
wonder how many Benjis there were officially.
Oh, there were several.
Dozens, I'm sure.
Yeah, there's a website. I remember reading about the Benjis. There's a whole website about just dedicated to documenting all of the Benji.
Well, what was that 80s movie where it was a robot dog? Chomp.
Chomps?
Do you remember that?
Yeah, Chomps. We showed that at the movie theater.
Yeah, that's like a VHS rewind type of thing. I would definitely consider doing that.
It was on the Summer Fun Festival. That's what we called our kiddie movies. Or that's 75, awesome, dude. 75 cent movies for the kids on Thursday afternoons.
Oh, dude, how awesome Chomps is that?
Chomps from 1979.
I wish they still had a theater like that that would do that. That's awesome. So I'm going to actually break away from the fishing for a little bit because it really doesn't go too far yet. And I'm going to go to Mrs. Ingalls having a little visit with Mr. Sprague in her lovely outfit, which she seems to pull off the outfit. I'm sorry.
I'll be with you in just a moment.
Caroline doesn't like to wait.
I can help you now.
I was just admiring my husband's handiwork.
Oh, you're Mrs. Hanson.
Oh, no, I'm Mrs. Ingalls. Charles Ingalls' wife? The man who helped Mr. Hanson.
Yes, he sent you here to reason with me regarding his loan.
Oh, no, I'm not here about my husband's loan.
Mrs. Ingalls, I told your husband I'd have to have some time to think it over, and when I do make a decision, it will be based on sound business reasoning, not on the wiles of a woman.
Mr. Sprague, I am not here about my husband's loan. I am here on an entirely different matter.
Oh?
The Walnut Grove School needs textbooks for the children, and we're asking the entire community to contribute.
No.
I do want to point out, though, there was a meeting, a town meeting, about raising money for new books, because the books they have are just tattered and old, and I mean, and they were old back then, so they were like from the 1500s.
and the key thing was that not everybody had a book. They made a big plot point early in the episode about Mary and Laura sharing the same textbook,
right?
And how that when they were doing the homework, Laura was behind, so Mary couldn't turn the page. And well, every student deserves their own textbook.
Yeah, we don't. Something that I don't think we think about so much these days, and you know, with the public schools and everything, and the amount of money that it does take to do this type of stuff. But you can imagine a small town like this, which is for the most part very working class, wouldn't be able to just kind of contribute $100-some-odd. I would imagine it would probably be somewhere upwards of, you know, $100 in those, you know, a few, the equivalent of maybe $5,000 or so.
Yeah, they were needing $27.50.
Oh, really?
For the books. And I ran that through one inflation calculator and got the amount of $482.
All right.
I ran it through it. The main inflation calculator online only goes back to 1913, I think. And I got a wildly different number, over $700. So we are talking about the hundreds of dollars. I would imagine over $500 in today's money.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I always go back to the runaway hot air balloon episode. When he gave, I believe them 50 cents, right?
I don't remember the amount.
It's a small detail, but I looked that up, and that's basically the equivalent of about $10. And that makes a bit of sense.
Yeah.
So $20, you can think each dollar represents about $20. So yeah, I think,
mm-hmm.
you know, it definitely comes out to be about the same. It's a lot of money though. Especially, like I said, for a working class town. But here's the rest of the clip.
Mr. Sprague, the entire future of America is dependent upon the children. It is the duty of every citizen.
My only duty is to run an honest bank and make a fair profit for myself.
But the children...
Children will grow up without books. I did and did very well, thank you, and no one contributed a thing. Good day, Miss Singleton.
Good day.
And that's why they didn't vote back then. It would be another 35 years or so before women could vote.
Yeah.
And I'm just kidding around about that, of course. Well, I mean, I'm not kidding around about the fact that it's a fact, but, you know, I'm all for...
Women's suffrage was not yet a thing.
The suffrage was terrible. I don't know if you've ever seen that. This man on the street, it's like, what do you think about women's suffrage? I think it's terrible. People just don't know. It's kind of hilarious. So Sprague is being hit up for bucks for kids. He only met like one of them and he doesn't like her. She's basically fishing all the fish out of the pond and
with her dough balls
and her dog is chasing away the fish. It's ridiculous. So maybe, you know, the next day, maybe a couple days later, we're back at the same exact pond. But people have taken different seats. Sprague actually took Laura's old spot mm-hmm. to see if that would be any better, which I think kind of humanizes him a little bit. It's the same goofy music. Laura with her, like, pompous smile. And Laura's got a fish.
I really wish you'd try some of my dough balls, mister. Well, it's just that the fish in our pond aren't used to all that fancy stuff.
Has she never heard of Stranger Danger? So she's insisting. I'm sorry, what were you going to say?
This is way before before that. I mean, we knew of the old creepy guy from that episode that, don't go through his yard.
Yeah.
There was a little bit of that, but apparently...
there was a little bit of Stranger Danger.
Well-dressed gentlemen at the fishing hole were all right.
Yeah, I mean, we know he's at least the banker. He's no sheriff, but, you know, hey. So she's insisting. Try this stupid bait.
Try this bait, and it's for catfish.
Right. Because our fish don't like all that newfangled fancy.
I did not hurt myself.
Maybe I better bait the hook.
I know how to bait a hook.
And that's kind of hilarious, too. Like, you have to have this, like, 10-year-old, 10, 11-year-old bait a hook for you. He's looking at her like, this will never work. Land sakes.
A big one, too.
It's another catfish. And they're best friends, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, those dough balls, that is a catfish bait.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's not something you usually use for, well, perch, for example. That's usually a completely different bait. I haven't been fishing in probably 30 years, but I did know that much.
We went, the last time I went fishing was last summer with the Cub Scouts. And I knew nothing. We were using live bait.
Yeah, that sounds like something you'd use to catch perch.
Yeah, we caught a bunch of sunfish that.
They
said don't eat them. They don't throw them back.
Yeah,
because of mercury or of some sort. But basically they're friends. They become best buds, and we find out that Sprague is actually he's a nice guy, sort of.
In certain situations.
Yeah, like he appreciates Laura. Should I play a little bit of their conversation in the wagon? You think it's worth it?
Possibly. Which clip do you have?
Well, right after he catches his first catfish, he's giving her a ride home.
Oh, yeah, and tells her about his boat.
So, yeah, I'll just play that.
Well, anchor. But that fish was so strong that he pulled the anchor loose. And the next thing I knew, I was riding along on the current, heading right for the rapids. Oh. I knew that river, and I knew if I got in those rapids, it was going to carry me around the bend. And I knew what was around the bend, too.
What?
A 20-foot waterfall.
Oh, my goodness. What'd you do?
Well, There was a tree growing next to the river, and I just reached up, got a hold of a limb, and kind of hung on. But I didn't want to lose that boat. You see, that boat cost me a lot of money. So I hooked my feet under the seat, curled up my toes, and then I really hung on.
You must have strong toes.
Oh, I do. I really do.
Here's where I get off.
So to make a long story even longer, Laura has a new friend. Sprague is a new friend. And
they go fishing regularly.
Sprague has no idea that Laura is the daughter of Charles. Nor does he really care, at first. Oh, no, what he cares. He just doesn't care who her parents are. He's no
interest. And she has no idea. He's the banker, Mr. Sprague.
Right, he's just a nice man.
She doesn't even know his name.
No. So
till the end of the episode.
They meet the fishing hole a bunch of times, and
this man you keep going off and seeing every afternoon, Laura? Oh, I have no idea who it is.
Exactly. So we get to the point where the big reveal, where Laura basically... Hold on. Laura reveals... You correct me if I'm wrong. She says who she is, or...
They're at school, and he drives by in the buggy, and she waves to him. And Nellie's, "Why are you being so nice to that mean old Mr. Sprague?" "Who?" "That's the banker, Mr. Sprague. He's my friend. He's the meanest man in Walnut Grove."
So here's the reveal where
she has to go and confront him. Yes.
She's humanized him. He's smiling, looking forward to his
I've been waiting
fishing
for you.
Buddy.
They're really biting today. Look at the size of that one.
"Why didn't you tell me who you were, Mr. Sprague?"
I didn't think it mattered.
"Well, it did. I was talking to you, and you didn't even tell me it was you. And that isn't fair."
"Well, I didn't get your name either."
"Laura Ingalls, but I wasn't keeping it a secret."
"Ingalls. You knew very well who I was."
"I didn't."
"Everyone knows who I am."
"Well, I didn't. All I knew is that you were my friend."
"You were mine because you wanted something from me. Your pa thought you could sweet-talk me into giving him a loan."
"That's not true."
"Yes, it is. No one talks to me unless they want something from me."
All right. I did want something from you. I wanted a best friend who wanted to go fishing as much as I did. But I don't anymore. I'd rather go fishing alone for the rest of my life."
That music, wow. It's very dramatic. We see music Laura. Swells. She's crying. Charles is saying, you know, he's not a mean person. He's misunderstood. Charles always finding the good in people. So, what does Charles do?
He's going to have a word with that Mr. Sprague.
Yeah, like, it's just hilarious. Like, all right, here we go.
Thank you, Mr. Sprague. I'll be here with more next week.
Fine, fine.
Ah, morning, Mr. Ingles.
Taylor.
Mr. Ingles, I've made a decision regarding the loan.
I didn't come here to talk about the loan. I came here to tell you that my little girl is not a liar.
Well, I have nothing to say about that.
Yeah, well, I have something to say about it. Now, you broke that little girl's heart. She went down to that pond every day to see her best friend. That's what she called you, her best friend.
Yes, because she wanted me to lend you money.
She didn't have the slightest idea who you were. And as for the loan, I wouldn't take it if it meant I'd lose everything. My little girl gave something to you, friendship. And you took it and threw it right back in her face.
I don't need any friends.
Well, that's good for you, Mr. Sprague, because you don't have any. You know, I feel sorry for you. You can't take anything and you can't give anything except money. And as far as I'm concerned, that means you don't have anything at all.
He should He should buy the Ingles farm and throw them out.
What will happen now?
Well, we have Sprague, who's in his back room, basically.
He's in a long nightshirt. It's late at night.
Drinking
and
tea.
The ghost of Christmas. I mean, wait a minute.
No, wrong one.
The ghost of Charles Ingalls' past comes to visit him.
Right, basically. And what happens is the next day at school. Let's see. And you know what's interesting about this? I'm thinking it must be the next day. But, you know, they didn't have Amazon Prime back then.
It doesn't have to be the next day. This could be days later.
Months,
we don't know.
Years. But here, we're in the classroom, and we're learning, we're getting our homework, which is apparently page 34, 35, 36. Can't just write 34 through 36. I don't know why.
All right, your assignment will be to read pages 34, 35, and 36.
Oh, my book, Miss Beetle.
Well, Johnny, you have to go to the Kennedys.
Yes, ma'am.
The Kennedys? Wait, the Kennedys were from
They're still around.
Wow, that's where they got their start.
There won't be any arithmetic homework tonight, unless, of course, you didn't finish your classroom assignment, then you'll have to do that at home.
I finished all my arithmetic problems in class, Miss Beale.
That's very good, Nellie.
No one
cares. Maybe you can loan your book to someone till tomorrow.
Mama says I mustn't.
Showboater.
All right, tomorrow we'll start on fractions.
What is that?
Children, please, we're still in school. What is it?
Don't know what's in it, ma'am. All we got was orders to deliver it here.
Now, you know Sean Penn is in some of these episodes, right?
What?
Do you know Sean Penn was in some of the earlier episodes?
No.
Really?
I guess not.
Really? Sean Penn's father, you know what? While this is playing a little bit, I'm going to just do a quick little
a hurry
thing on that.
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't order anything.
Well, open it, Miss Beetle.
Get signed for it first.
Who sent it, Miss Beetle?
No. Nellie, I don't know. It doesn't say it. It just says one crate. Thank you. Well, excuse me, could you help us loosen the lid? I just can't imagine. Thank you. Well.
Oh, look! It's beauty and books. Oh.
McGuffey's reader.
These books are from the future.
Famous poets. The complete works of Ralph Waldo Emerson.
Who sent them, Miss Beetle?
The Time Machine.
Yeah.
The
McGuffey's third reader didn't come out until 1879.
Seriously? Really?
And Now, Laura would have been 12, and that was a third grade. She was, what was she supposed to be? Elementary school.
She's probably about 11 or 12 here.
No.
I'm thinking maybe.
The character, though, the character is supposed to be, 9 years old?
Really?
Yeah. Remember we worked out all their ages, and she was, what was she in the season one? Was supposed to be 7 or 8 years old, right?
Well, you know what? We really should have a timeline. And really wouldn't be that hard to create, but she's 16 when she is going to get married to Almanzo, right?
Right.
So we really have to go from that point.
When she first meets him, she's 15 when she first meets him and they start courting.
And they say they wait 2 years. Even though Mary was...
Well, that was Mary.
16, yeah. Oh, Mary. So we get these books, special order, a huge amount of books. Laura
one
has
for every class member.
Yeah, it's, probably more so. Probably more than just one. So did you see the thing about Sean Penn? How Sean Penn's father, I believe, was a director in many of the episodes.
Okay, Leo saw that Penn. I saw he was one of the students a couple of times.
Yeah, you can find him in the background. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that was kind of interesting. I was looking for him. I just wasn't sure if you knew about that and if you knew what episodes he was on.
He's on the voice of Tinker Jones when the
and I missed it.
When the Tinker Jones melts all the silver together to make the church bell.
And then he's showboating by ringing that bell at the end.
Yeah, rings that bell. And he was also in Money Crop, which interestingly, the actor who plays Mr. Sprague also appears in. I need to verify that, but I'm almost positive that is the case.
Mm-hmm.
But he plays a completely different character. Money crop.
So here we go.
He's one of the arguing farmers.
We have Laura coming to run by to basically confront him yet again for this. She's just thinking the only person in Walnut Grove who could afford to do this would of course be her ex best friend, Mr. Sprague.
Good afternoon, young lady.
Catch anything?
And he lifts up.
Thanks to you.
A good 5 or 6, fish.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to you.
She shows the book.
Fishing, or aren't you?
Looks like you caught enough fish for both of us. There's maybe even enough there for 6 people.
I'd say that's about right.
You know, Mama cooks the best fish in the whole world. If you mind sharing them with the whole Ingalls family.
I think that'd be a pretty good idea. Besides that, I got something I want to talk to your pa about.
Just be funny. He goes, it's just a shame that you said you didn't want my loan.
McGuffey's third eclectic reader.
Oh, yeah?
Revised edition.
So we have Carrie on his lap, and Carrie's loving him, and Carrie did not have one line of dialogue, of course. And just everybody's best friend is now the banker.
We kept Mr. Sprague's secret about the books, and Pa got his loan and bought the 40 acres. Mr. Sprague said I sure didn't lie about Ma's cooking. It was the best in the whole world.
Oh, shucks. Now, I read somewhere that most of the food when they're eating came from Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Interesting.
Which, you know what, is probably 100% true. Although, like I said, I watched the wrong episode, and I have to apologize for that. The episode I watched was, what was the title of that thing? You probably already...
Episode one of the current season.
Yeah, The Richest Man in Water Grove.
Yeah.
And my wife and I were watching it, and they're serving breakfast, and I'm thinking, oh, they're not eating fried chicken, you know, because she pointed out this little fun fact. So I noticed, I really have never seen them eat eggs. So they're eating these eggs, and it looks like some type of weird flat bacon they're serving, but it looks more like it's like the tongue of a leather shoe. It's very, not appetizing looking, and they never took a bite of any of it. So it's very strange.
Yeah, I think usually when you film, unless you're seen eating the food, and you got to think it's been sitting there for a long time. How long has it been going on? How long has the scene
It's probably
been going
90
on?
Degrees out.
You know, and it's cold. And I mean, it's, I don't think that care is exercised on making the food any kind of accuracy or having it, you know, taste good or anything like that.
But if you think about it, if it's KFC, the biscuits kind of fall into, you know, use, the fried chicken. You know, these are things that we kind of represent as early foods. You know, like, although we did see some steaks when Caroline's opened up.
Oh, yeah, steak and eggs.
I was never really impressed with the way the food looked, but now that I'm getting more into cooking, I'm getting more into rustic cooking, I'm noticing all this weird cast iron stuff that they have. And
oh, cast iron rules.
Oh, I love cast iron. I always liked cast iron, but I never actually used it until more recently. I'll never go back to almost anything else.
Yeah, it's unless I'm doing something specific, that's generally what I use to cook.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unless I'm doing something like a gravy or something you can do in a pot.
Yeah.
Or if I need like a lidded skillet for a particular reason.
Yeah.
My go-to is a 10.5-inch old cast iron skillet.
Yeah. You know, for Hanukkah for me, my wife just, you know, I was talking on and on. She's like, well, why don't you just, cause I was complaining that all of our cookware was just scratched, you know, like the non-stick stuff. And I'm like, I have to throw this away. It's, you know, it's such a waste of money. And I said, I really wish we could just do cast iron. She's like, well, why don't you just buy it all? Because she doesn't do any cooking. She's like, just, you know, how much is it? So I never really realized how cheap, like, cast iron is, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Lodge and, you know, there's like actually a few different companies out there. I was able for $120 get three different skillets, two of them with cast iron lids, huge griddle, like you can put right on top of your top, the oven top. I got just all this different stuff, and I love it, and I don't see myself ever going back.
Yeah, you'll never have to replace it either. I mean,
yeah, that stuff is just indestructible. Except you can destroy a good cast iron pan if you improperly heat it on an electric stovetop. But it takes like years to do it. It will actually warp the center, and it will.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it will ruin it. It's kind of weird.
Well, definitely. An open flame, a gas cooktop is.
Yeah, that's what we have. We have gas. Oh, we're good to go.
That's the best. Yeah.
But all right, man. You know what? We should have an episode where we talk about the food more. Maybe there's a great
the food
YouTube
of
channel.
Walnut Grove.
Well, you know, there's this really great YouTube channel.
Oh yeah.
That it's not about Little House and Prairie food, but it's about 19th century food.
Okay.
I'm going to just find the name of it real quick, and I will put a link to it in the show notes. This guy, I mean, Jay's Townsend and Son, and I'll send you a link to it when we get off.
Okay.
But to give you an idea, it's kind of like fried chicken in the 18th century. And, you know, he finds these recipes. Here you go. Here you are in for a treat today. This fried chicken recipe comes from Nathan Bailey's 1736 cookbook. And he makes it right to the standards that they would have. Like, he does it all period correct. Like, the same cookware, the same...
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, you might enjoy this. Like, how to build an earthen oven.
You'd food of this. The enslaved. Barbecue.
Oh, you see it. Yeah.
Soup. Yeah.
You'll really enjoy this channel, actually. And this guy should have his own PBS show. It's
mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese. It's the mac and cheese life. But if Adam Curry is listening, go to... Dvorak, what is their donation thing? Go to noagendashow.com.
Dvorak.org/NA.
Yes. You know, I've only donated twice. I just can't afford to do it nowadays. But I wouldn't say... if I had more money, I guess I would make the payment. But one day I'll be able to propagate through cash. But all right, man. So yeah, thanks off again together for this episode, Chris. And you know, we'll catch it next time. We'll do some awesome episode next time. Maybe a new, slightly newer one.
All right, sounds good.
All right, man. See you.
Walnut Grove was a place.